Hello, Lou.
That's it.
What work I know?
That's fine.
So simple for you, Kev, that you're doing, eh? Right, we'll kick off our meeting tonight by singing. Now, the hymns are out tonight, are out to the Redemption Songs in Thousand Choruses. It's just something different, an act of hope, and I hope it goes right. I'm hoping it will go. I'm hoping not to anyway. So they'll look up on the board, and hopefully, as Alma says, it should be. And we're opening hymn tonight is number 455, not Redemption Hymnal, Redemption Songs. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. So I'll ask Garlock to come up and open in prayer.
Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we are gathered where praise and prayer is want to be made, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather here in freedom, Lord, that we have an open door. There's no restriction, Lord, that we are here before you. And Lord, we know that if we offer up our supplications, you're a God that hears and answers prayer, Lord. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, our lower lights might be burning, that we could send a gleam across the wave, Lord. We could maybe just help someone that's struggling, Lord. Lord, we just pray that as your word goes forth from here tonight, it'll touch a heart, Lord. Touch a heart, Lord, maybe it's waiting. Lord, we just pray that it'll lift the spirit. We pray, Lord, for those who are downcast at this time, just draw near and touch them, Lord. Lord, we do not know. Everyone has something that they would like to, for you to touch, Lord. We just pray that you draw near and touch them. Those who are sick, Lord, we We pray a healing touch upon each and every one. Lord, we think of those that are confined to home and can't get out. Draw into their presence, be near to them, we pray. And Lord, for any who have been bereaved, we pray that you would comfort and console them at this time, Lord. Again, Lord, we just bring our brother all but before you, Lord. We just pray that you'd be all mouth, matter, and wisdom to him, Lord. May it be a word from thyself, Lord, as he proclaims your word and proclaims the gospel message, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that if there are any who come under that sound, Lord, that might not yet know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, tonight, Lord, we might ask him into their heart to know the joy of salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God that can redeem us, Lord, for all our sins and all our faults and failings, Lord. Lord, we just pray that we can put our trust in you, that you would lead and guide us. Help us, Lord, to witness for you in these days. Again, Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time together in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Alec. Now, Samuel, we want to come up and do a reading to us, if you will. A woolen conscript. It's doing for Psalm 107, verse 21 to 31. Psalm 107.
Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. Some went off to sea in ships, plying the trade routes of the world. They too observed the Lord's power in action, his impressive works on the deepest seas. He spoke and the winds rose, stirring up the waves. Their ships were tossed to the heavens and plunged again to the depths. The sailors cringed in terror. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and they were at their wits' end. Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into the harbour. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and the wonderful things he has done for them.
That's lovely. Thank you, Samuel. I've just lost my order of service. I've asked much tickets and papers lying here in the gift of the week. Fits in the Norma. On the happy golden shore. Are you finished with the book, you like, Alma? Well, you might have the book up and ask something. Thank you. Fine. Thank you. Now, I think this is the same tune as Being Time, isn't it? Aye. You'll probably ken the tune, maybe not ken the words the same, but you'll ken the tune.
Thank you.
You'll maybe have noticed with the short time we've been started the meeting that there seems to be a theme, and it's nautical. It's a theme, it is nautical. And all the hymns are pertaining to the sea or the whatever. After 25 years to fishing and involved with lifeboats and harbours and one thing or other, it's a very personal topic to me, and a lot is here. The sea's a powerful adversary. The sea's a very powerful enemy. It can be a friend lots of times when you're fishing, but it can be an enemy. And the weight of the sea, and the power in the sea, it's awesome to see sometimes. As we've seen that last severe wind at 2012, I think it was, for the breakwaters, nothing was washed away, knocked in bits, piers lifted, damaged in, conquered out jam. No hearing me? No hearing? All right? You hearing that? I'll give you one of mine for needing. So, I'm going to give you a wee word of testimony. Not much. I'm just going to speak between the hands for two or three minutes, because you'll be up and doing like a yo-yo, act, a fiddler's elbow. And it's just be a theme it's running through, just for something for a slight change. I have had three very near-death experiences in the sea, in the boat. Very close to death. Just on death. And it's not a fine position to be in. It's not a good place to be. The first time was for 14 and a half year old. Left 15 and a half, sorry. First year I was to fishing. In April, they brought the Aberdeen holiday in April, early April. Fishing doing off of Aberdeen, 8 miles south of Aberdeen, to see that, their father's boat. Come fast to the bottom. We couldn't get her down afore the tide. Couldn't get her swung up to get back up. We've got to get back up and be in the net to get her clear of the bottom. And we couldn't get her swung up with the tide, down afore the tide. So we got her full bit of starn, got a wee bit of slack and got the rope flung out the roller and let her gink the short and pole right in the middle of the boat. For the ropes were short round about that pole. And I was standing just the fore end of it. And a heavy tide running, flood tide. And the pole buckled and bent, and it just took me around the middle and put my 30 feet a clear boat, right out to our stem, like a steam coming out of a catapult. If I didn't break my ribs or break my neck, I didn't care. I'd on a full oilskin, thigh boots, it was a war for the times of the jackets and the trousers, before your time, Gary, and two ganzies, my mother used to say, now it's Carl, on a couple of ganzies, and I can mind them looking up and seeing the sunshine. It was a bonny day. It's a good job, maybe. It was the flat garment. It was the forfeit. I mind them looking up and seeing the sun away up there and kicking one boot off and fechting to get up for air. And as I come up and onto the top of the water and gasping for air, I saw my father hanging out the edge of the boat. He went to get rocks and I could sail and down past him. I was swimming against the tide and it's an awful job today. It's just not an impossible. The boat was still bound by the head now, but I can mind Victor's Tommy good floating past me. He started to haul off eelskins nothing to come in for me. My father grabbed him and wouldn't let him, stopped him. And his Tommy good floating past. They cut the ropes, and by this time I was quite a bit for the boat. Still trying to swim, but oh dear me, swallowed half a north sea at that time, and really struggling. Really struggling, I can assure you. I wasn't a strong swimmer. I liked to swim, but I wouldn't say I was a strong swimmer. But they got the ropes cut and got run about and picked me up, finally. And I can mind lying the deck and the mist of the North Sea coming out of me. Sick as a dog, near wheel, made for Aberdeen. Got in, I got up my sister's and got a change of clothes, not for Andra, you know, so Andra's clothes. And got a walk back down to the boat. They said, oh, you better get to the hospital and get yourself checked out. I said, no, I'll go on home. I said, if I ging home, I would have come back. So I didn't ging home. And we'll go out the next morning, creep it up with gear, and we just carry it on. God speaks once, yea, twice, and man perceiveth it not. Doesn't pay any attention. That was Albert Sutherland. My spirit will not always strive with man. Albert Sutherland again. But I thank God tonight that he did strive. But it took a lot of years, it took a lot of other incidents to bring me to that place where I saw a need of salvation. We need to come to that stage, to that position, that God can move in our lives. And you can ask, was just speaking about the prayer meeting last night. He says, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. Are you glad tonight you've been chosen? We're chosen. Before the very foundation of the world, we're chosen. Before we were in our mother's womb, we were chosen. And I thank God tonight, I'm one of his chosen people. I'm not speaking about Israel tonight, although they are his special people. But we are born again, redeemed through the precious blood of the Saviour. We're his chosen people. It's lovely again that we're sheltered in the arms of God. Out of Christ without a Saviour. 240. Mate, it's all we'll ken hams, and you'll ken them all. And if I find my ticket, I'll be managed to carry on. It's a carry on licked enough, I can't find it. 240. Out of Christ without a Saviour. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Moving on. I'd like to read the three verses in Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, reading for verse 23. Very well-known portion of Scripture again. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Verse 23 of that chapter reads like this. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Oh, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's our Saviour. That's our Lord. The power that he had over nature is such. And the, a lot of us here tonight, well, a few of us, when we were fishermen, and we gave it like this to be a gale of wind. And it's fine to get to what your bed and fall asleep and hope it's better than your walking, than your eyes. Disney work good at why, and very often at Disney, but it's great to be able to go out your bed and sleep. And that's what the Lord was doing that night, that day. And that was his words, peace be still. We're told so, be ye still and wait upon the Lord. And it's a wonderful position to be, waiting upon the Lord. My next escapade was in we were fishing through the Firth. I've maybe told you a story before. If I have, I apologise, but this is just what's in my heart tonight. And we'd been in for 3 days with bad weather and bad forecast. This much bad weather, but bad forecast. And Wednesday morning, still the same forecast. The boat started to go out, so we thought we'd better gang and all, try and get a pie and get home a weekend. And some of the boaties started to go out, the 55th boaties, so we, like a sheepies, Ian was speaking about this morning, one followed his neighbour, and away we went. We steamed 2 hours west of Scrabster to Strathy Point, and we was fishing in the dark for haddocks that time, and just sticking in the dark. And the last haul, 12 o'clock in the hill, dark haul, the forecast at 12 o'clock and the back at 12 was the wind westerly 6 to 7, back and northerly 8 to 9. And we said, right, that's enough. We'll go and get heaved up and get a wire and 12 hours to steam. And we started to heave up and we was up on the top of the hard ground and we had to turn very quick and get down afore the tide again and a wire clear the ground in case we knocked it off in bits and stuck and get in the bottom. And we started to heave up and the doors come up underneath the keel, locked. The doors had twisted, one door going over the top of the other, and we couldn't get nothing done. But it's no good to do in the dark, trying to get a twist out your doors from the doors, all doors going in a revel like that, but the usual way is to let any door slack a wire and heave everything up and try and get a wire dipped with somewhere or other. And that's what we did. The wind was fresh in for the northwest at that time. It was not bad neck, but there was enough. And as we got to twist out the wire, we dropped the other wire away, and it must have been doing top of the rudder. And it sheared 3 bolts in the rudder quadrant up for it to get up through the shaft. The shaft came down through the boat's bottom, onto a quadrant, 4 bolts or 5 bolts on it, then down onto the keel, and the rudder swung on that. Unknown to us, the bolts is sheared. There was only one bolt holding the rudder in place. So we started to manage to get a net halt and that and steamed away east. And the wind was going out all the time to the north. And it was fresh and very, very quick. And we was getting away with 20 boxes that we got at hall and going down the way, doing rain. Victor says, I can't get a boat to come round the port. She wouldn't come. And the sea and the wind was just driving us ashore all the time. So we stopped her. We put a lift over the stern. The rudder was bony and straight and square. Turned the wheel, nothing happening. Got down below into the engine room, and the quadrant was turning inside, and the chains were running about it. But the rudder still wasn't working, still wouldn't turn. So we just didn't get fit to deal. We put a 20 boxes in the end of a tow. The tiny steerer doing to get us round to start at the port, about to get a while out, a bit of air sea room, because it was getting very close to land coming down there. It's not a good place to be into. But she was driving ashore all the time. And we put out a Mayday, and it was just by Providence, Jackie Ritchie, the evangelist, he was coming down the coast in the Star Divine. He was the only boat that was in the west side of Smacking for Scrapster. Johnny the Star of Peace came out of Scrapster, and he tried to come wash the geezer horn, and he cleared his decks. Washed all his seen that ropes over his side, very lucky that he didn't find anything up in his propeller. And he managed to get his gear back aboard and to go back again. But Jackie came and took a hood of us, with ropes on tills and started the tills just off the beach. And I can go off and broke her up. We broke her up us often, and we hauled the clets off of her. We hauled the very stringers that the clets were fastened to, with a metal double barrel that bowled in her foredeck. It was havoc, get over her stern. Both sides of clets and stringers disappeared. And it was horrendous. Broke her up 3-4 times. We had not a length of rope to put on now. We didn't want to put out a wire because that's just a deed straight and lifting off, but we was able to come to that. And we finished up with the rope round the mast, the bottom of the mast, the tabernacle, and onto the winch. And Jackie started to douse out a while and do it again. And the seas was just getting horrendous. And it was a short rope. Jackie was disappearing down one side of the swell, and we were still on the inside of it. And instead of lifting, as Jackie get doing, he just hauled her head down throughout, and she was just being buried. We had a board or a box, a basket, or nothing that was left the deck, just cleaned. And I can mind Jackie saying, "No, this is getting, you're getting very dangerous, you're getting very close." And he said, "I'll try and hold her here till help comes." And I said, "Well, I'm going to do it to get life jackets." So I go, "What do I do in the forecastle for it? Near a fine place to be in the forecastle of a boat in the weather like that." And the seas was just black and white and over the top of us all the time. And if I could do it, my father was in the forecastle, I said, "Come on up with the airman." And he was on his knees in the flare praying. Who am I to do there in there again? But he says, "All right, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And through this afore." I said, "Well, come on up, we'll put on a life jacket and at least a life jacket doing, we'll maybe a chance of being picked up." The lifeboat was out the rest time, he had about a hour to come to us. So Jackie just dug it over a wand, just kept her head, no weight on the rope much at all. Managed to keep the rope fast and ticked, and till the lifeboat come alongside. And can I mind, I was 10 men in that lifeboat that night. I think your dad was there, James, that night. Five men. Was you using scraps at that time? Aye. It was enough a night. And I can mind it being right to stay on our boat. We didn't think the market fast still. And I came right, if I was the star in the boat of their life, we were doing the whale. And they just come a star and take it and we poured boo. And they just put the tail like that. Walk out fast, Malone. And we took a turn round the mast again and went to the winch. And the rope, it was enough a neck to tow. But it was the condition of the boat. We had no fair lead for it to get a straight pull. Sometimes the rope was out that side and the boat was going that way. Sometimes the other way and the rope was going back and forth across her stem. And it was a very uncomfortable night. And I was standing for it watching the mast. And it just bending and buckling all the time with a weight. And my father shouted up the top, "Go and get a cup of tea." I said, "No, no, father, I'm not going to do for no cup of tea. I'll bide for a mat." And what a night we to cover that 8 mile, and I mean how long it took, 2.5 hours or something, before I went, and then she would just run and fight. But we made it into Scrapster. The boat was in bits, more or less, rudder was hanging off, but we made it safely and alive. God speaks once, yet twice, and man perceiveth it not. My spirit will not always strive with man. God spoke to me again that time in 1969, and yet we didn't pay any attention. It just got over our head, and we're getting merrily on our way, going on to Christless eternity. Sad as it is, and folk are still doing that today, you can. The warnings go out, and yet they're still in their sin, out of Christ, without a Saviour. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? 230. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Steer for a harbour light.
Next incident in my life was off the north here, about 8 miles off the north. There's a whatever.
Sorry, Alma. Thank you. The next incident in my life, it was a near-death experience for me, was off the broch here, working the coddlings in the winter time with the bobbins. And I was heaving up poor after nine, and nor washed one out of four, five, and just a right chavvy days as you would got. And I was at the winch for it, and it was heaving up with short sweeps that were working. It was short wire, only 155 of my wire out. And short sweeps, they're only 35 sweeps. And was heaving up the sweeps, got the doors unclicked, and heaving up the sweeps, and the old link and the swivels, now I was coming through the roller, the winch was for it and after why, and the roller was there facing me. And as the roller come through, the swivel come through the roller, round the roller, it just get ping, and the whole tail get flying aft. I managed to get a hood out before I got over the side, which was good. And got the one got either swivel and shackles, nothing sorted to it, and got it connected up, the wire aft, tail the wire aft, slack, and got nothing. And we couldn't get a slack to get it off the clit. It was the top smart clit in the gallus. It's maybe double dutch to some of you. The gallus would down through with the trawl doors. But I get into inside the trawl the galluses, trawl gallus, and I'm trying to haul up slack to get the swivel nothing out through and then the top block clear of the clit. And I just shouted up to Victor, my brother, "Get a belt of starn, Victor, to get the slack off." And he put her in a starn, and the whole load come ticked. And it was into the propeller. We put that thing with the clit, in fact, it took the clit weight, right through the top block, and I was bent down just beside the left side of the gallus, and bent down over the side, and it just struck me, oh, maybe a fit down for my shoulder. Unknown to me, I couldn't have deemed myself ill, like I just knocked my senseless. I was lying in the deck and the water swirling about, and I was lying my belly in the deck, just senseless. And that was also over the side now with the net, single ended, in the propeller, and just in a guy picker. And I can mind, and the lads that was ways come to the man, put their right hands on about my belly and tried to lift me up, and I was saying, "Oh, leave me. The bones was going together and the blade was going spewing out my mouth. And unknown to me, I'd broken two ribs, bunked up my lung, and it was just in a guy's state. And I can mine and can ruin the boat was lying over the broadside with a tail of the propeller, and that still out there, couldn't have done nothing. And I mine the floret come in a boat, Duthie. Come on about and try to get me off, but I couldn't get details with the swell. I was lying over the broadside now, and in the market in Asia. And I had a good job, but I crawled round about. I got round the foreside of the wheelhouse, out up the pond boards, nothing, and my hands and knees, and get right aft and get up into the poop deck and into the galley, through the galley and into the wheelhouse. And I get up into the port side of the wheelhouse, and took down the windy. And from Victor come in, I stuck my hand out the window and took a hood of the life belt. There was a cage for a life belt just outside the port window. Took a hood of the cage and asked the Victor, "Jar my window up and eth my ear, and that'll steady my ability." And we did that. And you can ask, the propeller come clear at sail. With the movement of the boat, the wire come off the propeller and the net floated up alongside the boat. Managed to get a net halt. One side up and got the other side up, nothing aboard, and made a waffle in over the broadside, the worst possible position we could have been in. And I can mine and roar and out my coming in, and the blade can fly out the wind and spit in the blade, and the bones just crunching together. Can't have deemed myself a lot ill. Victor says, "Go and lie down the galley first." No, I'm waiting for him, at least I'm up. And that was what happened. It was enough. Hey, it happens every time. It was an accident, but it should never have happened. Put it that way. Health and safety nowadays would have just in a field day. But that was the way of the fishing. You just did fit you the day and fit you good day. And after we got in, they took him up to hospital and it's still on my oilskins. I'm saying, "Cut him off." No, it's all right, Maloon. We'll keep him. Cut him off. They'll try to take off my jacket, my oilskin jacket and Ganges, nothing to get a look at my back. I just cut them off. There's plenty of my oilskins and that in the go. And finally, they got an x-ray and put my wahi in. and a mind sitting up on echt, and I didn't tell her about spitting blade. I should have done. But I can mind is sitting up in the bed, I couldn't lie down, and sitting up on echt, and I couldn't get a breath. The lungs were just filling up a blade all the time. And finally, the doctor came in the morning, and he said, dear me, he's up to hospital. So the ambulance come to the door, I was in a wheelchair, I mind that, go up to hospital, x-rays, big clot in the lung, Aberdeen. Finished up with 5 days in Aberdeen. But I got through it again. I was off for 13 weeks. I got through it again. God speaks once, yet twice. Man perceiveth it not. My spirit will not always strive with man. How much pleading do we need? How much striving do we need? I'm so thankful tonight that God didn't give up on me. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. And to say it, excuse me, and to say that he gave up would be telling doing rightly. I was burdened, right burdened. Am I going to walk the West Coast after I got back to my sea, back to my job at the end of March time? And April was the run to Healings, and I got to go up there, got to run up with the other boats, and I can mind them being a howl, and choruses coming into my mind, and just things that had been brought up with, and get through enough of time. And the Spirit pleading with me. And it wasn't until I come ashore, and I come ashore with the family boat on the 8th August, 1980. And I get a fortnight, and I got a job in the T-Nets, and I can remember that at night I was saved. The Alistair Noble, No Jesus, No Life, crusade was on for a fortnight. We'd been the Sunday before that, and we get back at last Sunday in the big hall, the big kirk, Muckle Kirk, in the Broadgate Hall Church, up the stair. And I can mind John Gordon's testimony as clear as could be. I think if it all starts Noble spoke about, I ain't got a clue. But that night I said, I'll have to get myself right with God. I have to get myself right with God. He's striven long enough. And at about 1 o'clock in the morning, it took all that time to bring me out to my knees. It's a great place to be. On your knees before the Lord. And all I could say was, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into day, come into stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you hear us? I stood up off a flare and got into my bed, and you hear us? It was as though somebody had taken 2 tons of coal off my back. Different man, completely different. I can remember starting with T-Nets at 8 o'clock that morning. I can see Big George Stephen, Goosey. He came out, suddenly was dropping a new net, and that's my first morning about 9 o'clock. And I didn't care for the main wire. I was four of them for Belgar, and two William Corners, and James Duthie, and Goosey. That was the four lads that was in the store, and myself, and the 2 quines, Esther and Christine. And I could see Big George yet, hands around like shuffles, come in a wash side linty, and he says, you safe, boy? Just look at it. And I says, aye, George, I was saved at 8 o'clock this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He was saved this morning, though, boys. Yeah. The talk to telling folk was to out of my hands. And it was a rare time there. Lovely time. Enjoyed working the team nets. I learnt a lot for George and all, and it was good. It was a good time for me. But it just lets you see, God works in mysterious ways. His wonders do perform. And it's great to ken that we have a Heavenly Father that cares so much for us that he sent his only begotten Son to Calvary to die for your sin and mine. Let me just ask you a question tonight before I go any further. If you can do in the road in the morning and you meet up with somebody and they say to you, are you saved? What would your answer be? Would it be, oh, I think the Baptist Kirk? I gink to my own kirk. I pay every penny in the pound. I do good. I dinna do nobody no hell. And will your answer be unredeemed through the precious blood of Christ? It's the only way of salvation. It's the only salvation I'll ever be. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved tonight? Only you can answer that before the Lord. We can't answer it for you. But it's great to be redeemed. It's wonderful to be saved and going onward and upward with the Lord Jesus. Now, are you fishermen here? I've got a quiz for you. And maybe not just you. Has anybody seen that in a foil? Gary? Xander? You see it? Oh, you'll read the right thing. Yes, that says, I require a pilot. It's the flags used to fly. VHFs they use new. It's VHFs not in the use new, but in all days they used to run a flag up the mast. I require a pilot. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that requires a pilot. I didn't care. But only you can yourselves. I require a pilot. I'll stick that in there, I know. And I've another in here, along the same lines. The colours didn't come out half a great. And this in says, and I can relate to this, I have a pilot on board. Have you got the pilot, the heavenly pilot? We're going to sing about him, I know. Do you want a pilot? We'll do the chorus first. If you cannot chorus, do you want a pilot? Whisper then to Jesus. You know, can't. It's up there, and you'll count before you go to here tonight. Play it right through, and we'll sing twice after that, so Abby gets to count. Combine your seats. Thank you, Christian, for digging that in out. Good year. Okay, we're going to sing Jesus, Saviour, Pilot Me before we close. And we'll hear closing hymn after that. Jesus, Saviour, Pilot Me. I'm going to read this bit today. I was going to read it for a start and I forgot about it. It's "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," a composition at hymn, for this at hymn was written. On a dark and stormy night in the last century, when the waves rolled like mountains and not a single star lit the darkness of the sky, a large passenger ship cautiously edged its way towards the harbour at Cleveland, Ohio. On board, the pilot knew that on such a night he could only find the safety of the harbour by keeping the two lower shore lights in line with the main beacon. "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" asked the captain, who could only see one light, that from the lighthouse. "Yes, I'm quite sure," replied the pilot, peering into the inky darkness. "But where are the lower lights?" asked the captain. "They must have gone out, sir," came the reply. "Can we still make the harbour then?" inquired the now anxious captain. "We must, or perish, sir," said the pilot solemnly, as he swung the wheel again. With a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot steered the heaving vessel onward, but alas, in the darkness he missed the vital channel. The boat crashed on the rocks and many lives were lost. When Mr. Moody first told the story of the shipwreck at Cleveland, he concluded with these words, "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." That's your task in mind tonight, to keep the lower lights burning. That story fired the imagination of one of Dr. Moody's associates, Philip Bliss. He was already a songwriter and composer of some repute, and when he took the moral of this story and told it in song, it became popular immediately. Soon, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning" was being sung in Moody's campaigns everywhere. Later, it was to become a firm favorite with that other famous American evangelist, Billy Sandy. "We all meet with people every day, and for those people we may provide the only opportunity they'll ever have to hear the gospel. Unless we tell them, they may never hear." That's a commission we've been told. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I can mind taking a 70 or 90 metre boat into the Broch Harbour, smooth thick, terrible fog that afternoon. Couldn't see the breakwaters, could only see them about 50 or 60 yards, and the boat was 90 metres long. No, I couldn't even see her stem, couldn't even see the foremast. And I can mind looking into the radar and saying to myself, "Oh, she's going off a fart to Norrit, lining up the harbour." It was ebb tide and she started to just come away too much to Norrit. And I was pilot at that time. And I said to the captain, "Come full astern, captain, thrust your stem to starboard." He says, "Full astern?" I said, "Yes, full astern. Thrust your head to starboard." Way into open water. And he did it, because he didn't care the harbour, but I did. We started to make a turn, a long, long turn out, and lined up the harbour. We were going to see the harbour lights lined up for what we thought was a track in on his radar. And I said to Victor, he was in the pilot boat, my brother, "Just go into our stem, maybe a 20 boat lengths, and if you see the breakwater, let me ken." So he got into our stem, and it just gradually waged around, indeed slow. And the mind you, a 90-metre boat is a big ship. And it was worrying. It was really worrying. Couldn't see nothing. And Victor saying, "You're coming fine. You're coming, I can see you, Bonnie. You're coming fine." And he says, "That's me just in between the pier heads, I know." And gradually, the top of the licht, near the lower bit of it, but the top of the Golden Horn, the pint of breakwater, come into view. And it was in a straight line right up the channel. But it unnerves you. But if I hadn't been there, I didn't care for that skipper would have done, that captain would have done. There's every chance the boat would have been up the back of North Breakwater. So I was a pilot for a lot of years, 20-odd years, and at the Broch Harbour. And I really enjoyed it, some poor days, but it was a satisfying job. And I thank God for the opportunity to do that. You can ask, we read that portion that Samuel read, and they entered their desired harbour, desired heaven. What a fine experience, great experience it is when you're running into harbour for a gale of wind, or coming down the coast for a gale of wind, glad to get in. As you come round that corner of the Golden Horn, and you're into the lee of the breakwater, and the wind falls away. What a nothing. Nevertheless, depending on the directions in, and they entered their desired heaven. Someday, friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to enter into that haven of rest, and we'll be doing the anchor, and we'll be there forevermore. Right, we'll go on. If it is again, if it's the last year, come to mind. 798 is the book. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. We still like Gooey and Jimmy Charlie O'Hart the song that time a lot, didn't it? I seem to mind that.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord, for these lovely songs that we've been singing tonight. And we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, that each head bowed in thy presence will be anchored their soul in the haven of rest. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the sacrifice of your Son, your only beloved Son, the one in whom you are well pleased, on Calvary's cross for my sins. So, Father, we thank you again for this another Lord's Day, another day of thy grace. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, now you will part us with thy richest blessing. Go with us where we would go and abide with us where we would abide until that great day dawns and all the shadows flee away until our Lord and Saviour comes back for his own blood-bought people and then forevermore. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, Christian and Anne, for that. You did well. You'll get a bonus for that.